Oh my God, that's huge.
And I didn't write this.
My friend Eleanor Meyer, sister of my best friend Beverly, plopped a huge overstuffed binder in her lap as we sat recently in Cambridge, Massachusetts, to talk, socially distanced, about genealogy. Here's the binder cover.
This says John Van Der Zee of New Baltimore, New York, lineage and allied families, 1793 to present.
Van Der Zee. We've joked about our shared connection to the upstate New York Dutch. Mine, a Mary Vanderveer. Hers, Mary Van Der Zee, wife of John Van Der Zee. But I'm white, Eleanor is black, and her lineage is much tougher to tease out. Her Mary had a previous life, another branch to the family tree.
Now, this is Rebecca Egbertson, and she would have been the first that we know of. There's Caesar and Rebecca Egbertson, and they were enslaved in Cooksackie.
That's Cooksackie in upstate New York. This is a story about Northern slavery and about two women, one white, one black, both shocked to discover they have a connection to it and each other. We start with Eleanor. Her Mary was born in 1801 to the enslaved Egbertsons, sometimes called the Egberts. All the names were given by whites. Slavery had by then been banned in New York, but it lingered. And Eleanor found out through research that even though born free, Mary became a servant companion to the children in the white Dutch family, the Hoddelings.
The Egbertsons were enslaved by the Hoddelings. Mary Egbertson had gotten pregnant at 13, and from the age 13 to 19, she had five children. She had probably been raped. Somebody in the family that held them in bondage.
Oh, just...
It's and we can't even say that that's for sure, but that's what it looks like.
No matter how it happened.
Yes.
It just feels like this must have been a tough go for this 13-year-old girl.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, how does that make you feel?
What can you say? Yeah. It's like, I can't go back and fix it. Yeah. There's nothing I can do about it, but look at her with wonder that she was able to get, and hope that she did get past it and, you know, didn't live with nightmares and was able to, I don't know, get on.
You came across a notice when she turned 100 and the local New York paper said, her life is a romance.
Yeah.
She was brought up as playmate and companion to children and children's children. This is in the white family she was in. That notion that her life was a romance growing up in this white home.
They're glorifying her, but I'm sure at the same time they wanted her deference. And you sit there and you look and you go, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is history, but this is also something you carry with you. You are directly related to Mary through one of those early children, Thomas, who took the name Van Der Zee only after Mary married John Van Der Zee. Thomas was your great-great-grandfather. And I know you want to be careful, but you had your DNA tested. You found you carry the white Hoddling DNA in yours.
I have connections on DNA with Hoddlings, but we don't know how. It's still that, yeah, it's probably the male Hoddling, because my grandmother always said that her grandfather, who would have been Thomas Van Der Zee, was fair-skinned and blue-eyed.
But your grandmother also always used to tell you and Beverly, oh, none of our people were enslaved.
Yes, she did say that, and it was because there was still, growing up with her, it would be a shame to admit that there had been slaves in the family, but she had to have known Mary Egbert's. Maybe the family told her that we had never been slaves.
Or maybe it was something, as you said, it was a matter of pride.
Pride, yeah. Because when they were able to get their freedom, they also did very well. Mary and John owned their own home. My great-great-grandfather, Thomas, was a steamboat pilot. I found that working on the Hudson on boats, commonly there were a lot of blacks that were able to work in that profession. They had their own homes and did quite well.
There's a picture here.
Yes. That's Mary Egbert's Van Der Zee. And she was 100 years old in the photo. When I saw that face, my mother would always say that me, Beverly Esser, we had the Van Der Zee face. And when I saw her picture, I knew what she meant because, there's a certain sharpness of features or cheeks or whatever, but it's the Van Der Zee face.
Again, maybe more Egbertson face, Mary's family name. But she also had many children with John Van Der Zee, and this brought us back to the Van Der Zee binder, brimming with material. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a census. Yeah, and here's some pictures. Descendants of John Van Der Zee.
Family tree.
In the 1800s, yeah. James Van Der Zee, who was the photographer in the Harlem Renaissance.
And a relative of yours.
Yeah, my grandmother's first cousin.
What does it mean to find this?
You know, we had a very small family group growing up, and we knew the name Van Der Zee. We knew about Anson, but we didn't really know who they were and what they had done. And finding out is pretty amazing.
I can't believe how much is here.
Yeah, and I told now, James Van Der Zee, the photographer, his parents were maiden butler to Ulysses S. Grant. And you find something like this, this is something I never knew. I never knew. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Well, and also the fact that, you know, I'm of Dutch descent, upstate New York, same thing. No, they did not have slaves.
Well, you run into a problem, too, where there are people who want to deny that their family were slaves. But when you're doing this type of genealogy, people want to deny that their families held slaves. When you are trying to reach out to a white family who may be related, they close the door. Mm-hmm. They will disappear. They will block you because they don't want to deal with the fact that they might either have black ancestry or not even ancestry, just kinship. And that's it, it's the oddest thing that I've kind of run into, but I have run into it where I've lost. Yet one of the last things you tell people is, by the way, I'm black. Because, boom, it's gone. They don't want to deal with it.
You're saying they don't want to think that their white family, white ancestors had slaves or relations?
They don't want to deal with their families having had slaves in the family. They don't want to deal with possibly having black ancestors. And they don't even want to go so far as to think that one of their ancestors had children who with a black woman or a black man, and that you would be not even related by blood, but by a certain kinship. Yeah. They don't want to have that kinship.
Do you think sometimes do you hear from them that they don't know what you want?
Oh yeah, sometimes you'll get, what are you looking for and why are you? But right after that comes the door closing.
And what would you want to tell them? What do you want?
I don't know what they're afraid of. What I mean, this is just history. This is something, you know, this kind of rounds us all out together. I just don't understand why you wouldn't want to know the whole story of your family.
That's all you want?
Yeah, the whole story of the family. Yeah. Good and bad. If you want to claim a king, you have to claim the janitor. They want to be descended from that king. They don't want to hear about the janitor. Mm-hmm. Or the scullery maid, you know, they don't want to hear it.
Or the steamboat pilot.
Or the steamboat pilot, yeah.
But someone did want to. Eleanor picked up her cell phone to show me one of her resources.
It's called I've traced my enslaved ancestors. It's people posting, they're giving and looking for information on their enslaved ancestors, and many times they find them. They actually tell you different databases that you can go to. Like, you know, this one, 1755, looking for Sarah Creighton, Mary George Dumright, you know.
Is it mostly black Americans asking about?
A lot of white people who found out that their family held enslaved people and have found wills and have found documentation have joined. And it's the greatest thing. A lot of them didn't realize that that's a tremendous resource. People who have wills up in the attic, every bit of information counts.
Can you think of something you found on here?
Well, I found Deborah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
Okay, let's see. Deb, are you there?
I am.
Deborah is Deborah Bruno, who was raised in upstate New York, believing there were no enslaved people in her white family until she found them and posted some of her information on the I Found My Enslaved Ancestors Facebook page. One of her ancestors, the Hodelings, who'd enslaved Eleanor's Mary.
I was terrified because I thought, why would she want to have anything to do with me? My ancestors enslaved hers. my ancestors did terrible things to her ancestors. What right do I have to reach out to her?
Eleanor, as you can guess, felt differently.
Oh, it was serendipity. It was unbelievable because I've always thought Mary's story was compelling. But, you know, it's just my family. And then, you know, she put that up looking for New York, you know, information. Oh, well, this is me. I've got all of this stuff. And I got in touch with her and it was, she just, I mean, heads were exploding on both sides of the wire because I was like, oh my God. And when I gave her the information about the hotelings, oh my God, my family's, and I said, Vanderzee, oh my, it was great. And it was, it's almost an immediate kinship. We were coming from the same place.
We've been taking a look at slavery in the North, something Eleanor Meyer and Deborah Bruno, one black, one white, didn't think existed until they found a shared enslavement story in their own families. Eleanor's ancestor Mary Vanderzee was born into the family the Egbertsons, who were enslaved by Deborah's ancestors, the Hoddlings. We pick up with that reminder from Eleanor.
The Egbertsons were enslaved by the Hoddlings. Mary Egbertson had gotten pregnant at 13, and from the age 13 to 19, she had 5 children. She had probably been raped. Somebody in the family that held them in bondage.
Oh, just,
you know, it's like I can't go back and fix it. There's nothing I can do about it, but look at her with wonder that she was able to get and hope that she did get past it and, you know, didn't live with nightmares and was able to, I don't know, get on.
This is hard, emotional, genealogical work, made more so because white people who hold many of the pieces to her puzzle usually decline to talk to her.
They don't want to deal with their families having had slaves in the family. They don't want to deal with possibly having black ancestors.
Well, one woman was different.
Yes, my ancestors did enslave her ancestors.
Deborah Bruno, raised in upstate New York, was also told there were no slaves in her white Dutch ancestry. When she found out indeed there were, she posted information on the Facebook page, I've found my enslaved ancestry. Eleanor responded, and the two are now doing research together. Okay, let's see. Deb, are you there?
I am.
Eleanor, are you there?
I'm here.
I feel like you guys are like a team now, like you ought to take this on the road. Well, they actually have. Eleanor has traveled to Cooksacky, New York with Deborah, where she learned, among other things, that the white family that enslaved hers was called the Hotelings, not the Huttlings. Deborah visits families in Cooksacky as often as she can to research in libraries and historical societies, a wealth of information.
I was at the library doing research on Saturday, and I kept sending Eleanor texts and pictures, and I'm sure I totally overwhelmed her with everything I was sending.
I kept pulling over and going, oh my God, what's this? Oh my God.
For example, I spent some time this week looking at the old church records from the First Reformed Church of Cooksacky, and they were baptizing babies. Then all of a sudden, I came to a section where it would just say, this baby was baptized from an enslaved woman. And that's all you would have. You would have no other information. So to be able to find who these babies were, who were actually baptized in the Dutch Reformed Church, is just kind of makes you crazy to try to figure out, how do you get to that? Who were these babies? Who were these people? What happened to them? We are a team and we work together and we have the same goal, which is to get to the heart of who these people were.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning. Deborah, Dutch on one side, Italian on the other, in upstate New York. We've talked. I'm of Dutch descent from upstate New York. I'm sure it never occurred to you that your ancestors enslaved other people. You came across a will of your 5 times great-grandfather. Talk about that.
I really felt, oh no, it couldn't possibly have been my family because my family was poor. They were poor farmers. You know, I had imagined the South. I had imagined the large plantations of the South. And you can find the actual digitized version of the handwritten wills. And so here is in this beautiful flowery script, the ancestor's will saying, whenever the Lord deigns to take me to him, here's my Negro boy Will who goes to my son, and here's another slave who goes to another person. And the moment that I saw that, I felt as if somebody had punched me in the stomach.
most people in upstate New York, most Northerners think, well, this has nothing to do with me.
Right. We thought the South were the racists, the bad guys in the fight. We were the Northerners. We fought the Civil War to end slavery. And we were the abolitionists, and we had this Underground Railroad that we were very proud of, and we got the escaped slaves to Canada. And it turns out that it wasn't quite so simple as that.
Okay, so you start a deep dive. You're trying to find some of the descendants of people that your ancestors had enslaved. You found a group called Coming to the Table. They bring together descendants of the enslavers and descendants of the people enslaved. And they were the ones that directed you to the Facebook page that Eleanor was on. I've traced my enslaved ancestors. What was that like when you heard back from Eleanor?
It really felt as if the universe was giving me a gift to find this mm-hmm. woman who was as interested in it as I was.
Or as Eleanor said, your head's exploded.
Yes.
But was there also trepidation, Deborah?
Yes. I was terrified because I thought, why would she want to have anything to do with me? My ancestors enslaved hers. My ancestors did terrible things to her ancestors. What right do I have to reach out to her?
As you know, Mary, who became Mary Van Der Zee, lived with the White family, the Hotellings.
Yeah.
You knew already that you had a connection with them. And in all probability, you know, Mary was raped by a Hotelling, as young as 13.
She had her first child at age 13.
Yeah. Eleanor, what did you say to Deborah?
This is 150 years ago, whatever. And for people to have some sort of guilt about it, it's not right. You know, you're not responsible in any way, shape, or form. I was very excited. Usually, trying to connect to white ancestry, as I said, it's like slamming a door shut. Making history on that level more personal, I think that grounds you in where you are today.
Yeah. Well, slavery in early Dutch New York shouldn't be such a surprise. Sojourner Truth was enslaved in a Dutch family in New York. She spoke Dutch before she was freed. Now, Eleanor's family may have had shame, but Deborah, did your white ancestors just forget with time?
I think the erasure was much more deliberate. It didn't fit into the narrative of who we were as New Yorkers. If you had an ancestor who fought in the Revolutionary War, as I did, or an ancestor who fought in the War of 1812, as I did, those were the stories that were told. You know, if you find a 1790 census and you find that your ancestor has checked off, yes, I have 6 slaves, that doesn't enter into that pride.
Why are you so invested in this?
This is my job. This is the reckoning that I can do to tell this story. I have to tell this story. And Eleanor has to help me tell this story. It does carry through to racism today. This kind of sense of white people being separate from black people is absolutely a flaw in our way of thinking. And we have to kind of imagine that we are both complicit in this and we bear a responsibility.
These families were living side by side. Mary had, I believe, 4 or 5 children. These children grew up in that area, and they were related to the cousins of the white family. They were cousins, they were half-brothers, half-sisters, but they all lived in this little community together, and I'm sure people knew who the father was. Mm-hmm. And what kind of a dynamic must that have been?
What I'm hearing you say, Eleanor, is that a lot of people knew. And so a lot of people erased this history. Has this changed you both?
For me, it has changed me, absolutely. I don't feel guilty. I do feel a weight of responsibility. I didn't know that I would find this ugly truth and that then I would find a woman who was part of that story that would help me learn even more, and who has a wealth of understanding about this that I didn't. So I had a great education just talking to Eleanor. I think about everything differently now. I think about the 100th anniversary of suffrage for women. And I'm thinking, well, suffrage for white women, you know? So yeah. It's changed my perspective on everything.
Yeah. Eleanor?
I myself, I feel grateful
that she opened the door, and after the door had, you know, it's been very hard to chip away and get into the other side of this. And what she is doing is getting to the other side of this. And I don't think she realized how wonderful that is, that finally somebody, someone from the other side, not open the door, she's kicked the door open and said, okay, people, you've got to look at this. I mean, in the whatever years I've been doing this, this is the first time that's happened. I'm so grateful that she's done that.
Mm. We're part of this family tree that the branches intertwine, and it's so complicated that I'm not sure we'll ever be able to straighten out those branches, but we're trying.
Just thank you so much for talking to us about it, all the resources that you used. I think this is going to be so valuable to people who want to do this. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome.
Eleanor Meyer and Deborah Bruno for part one of our conversation, for a picture of ancestor Mary Vanderzee, and for those resources. Do your own search. We'll get them to hereandnow.org.